Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA Wake Up Call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
Hello, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, we're joining you again virtually today. We're recording Wednesday night, and there's a lot to talk about. Anybody out there got cabin fever yet?
Yes.
Yes. Well, you're lucky. You can go out in your backyard, and you're right in the woods.
You'll be good, too.
Yeah. Well, you'll fall into ditch, Hal. Don't go too far. Okay. Well, we've got Hal and Rainer with us.
Hey.
Hey there.
Got Diane Ruffino.
Hey.
We got Melissa.
Hello.
And Bob.
Hello.
Hello.
So we're coming to you, not live from Fernwood Studios anymore, but from each of our own homes as we comply with the social distancing requirements. And we hope that y'all are doing well and are able to be with us today. We just got through doing a teleconference with our state representatives, Michael Scaschiali, Keith Kidwell, and Larry Pittman, discussing some of the issues that they're facing, you know, right now. And they felt like most of the public doesn't realize that the General Assembly is not in session. They're not due to go back into session until the 28th.
Of April.
Well, and Rick, they don't have the power to bring themselves into session.
Right. They don't have the power to call themselves back in. The only way they can go back into session right now is if the governor calls them back. And he ain't going to do that. So they're working on some proposals, I believe, for some constitutional amendments to be able, anytime there's a state of emergency declared, that they will automatically be called back into session. Because what's happening here is the governor is assuming powers he doesn't have in some of these orders that he's declaring, because the Council of State has not been consulted and they're required to be involved in that process. And he's bypassed them on that. Hal?
Well, that's right, Rick. But it also is worse than that. They actually took a vote, and by a slim majority along party lines, I'm sure, they did not agree with Cooper's taking those steps that he took.
6-4 against.
6-4. So he wouldn't have gotten there their approval if he'd asked for it, but he didn't.
No, right. He did ask for it by email, and they disapproved of it.
I stand corrected.
But he went to the media first.
Right.
I agree with what the our representatives are trying to do as far as getting called back in automatically during the state of emergency, because they need to be involved in the process. Now, we're not against the fact that they're asking people to stay at home and social distance themselves. I think that's a common sense thing that most people will comply with anyway. But how far are they willing to take this? You know, Virginia is closing down churches and issuing fines if you hold a church service, and threatening that, you know, they may even close your church permanently. That's carrying it way too far.
And one of the punishments they quote is maybe a year in jail if it's done.
Right.
Yeah, but depending on your view of government, I think if there's a state of emergency in your state, that's really when you want government to be in session to address the emergency.
Right. You don't want to have a one-man show.
Right.
Well, I think we're going to do what we can to support them in that effort, and we'll try to keep the public informed on what's going on there. Hal?
Well, I'd like to mention on that virtual meeting that you just mentioned that we held, we did. And all of us were present. And in fact, there were about 20 participants in it, and they were from all the way across the state, various places. And it was a good example of how through this virtual meeting, we can carry on an issue with enough people, representatives across the state, that we could possibly be effective. That's the idea of it.
Right. We're going to continue to have those on a regular basis. It's a video teleconference thing, and we have subscribed to that for a year, and we're going to be doing some other things involving the public, you people out there, to try to raise awareness of just how much overreach there is from some of our elected officials. They're going way beyond the bounds of the Constitution, and it's we the people that are going to have to stand up and do something about that. We've got to make our voices heard. One way we can do that is by directly contacting them. Phil Berger in the House, we need to be contacting him and letting him know that we want the General Assembly to be called back into a session, not on the 28th of April, but immediately, as quickly as possible, because they need to be involved in what's going on here in our state. Diane?
I agree. They should be back into session. They should be going on record and voting with or against Cooper on his executive order and offering their reasons and going from there. But they should be on record, and Cooper should respect what they say.
Right. Well, I was taking a look at an article here that's put out by NC Civitas, and it says, do elected officials, I'm going to put it up so y'all can see that, do elected officials continue to protect and defend the Constitution? It says, lawmakers take an oath to protect and defend the Constitution. There is no clause that excludes times of war, pandemics, or other disasters or tragedies. The first duty of government is to secure inherent rights while upholding the rule of law. And in North Carolina, we saw at least one potentially odious abuse of power in Wake County when pistol permits were temporarily scrapped despite a state constitution and state laws affirming the right to bear arms. So that's one of the forms of overreach that I'm talking about. And my concern is, what other areas are they going to go into? Where are they going to draw the line? We've talked about churches, religious rights. We've talked about the pistol permits. What's next? What else are they going to tell us we can or cannot do, violating our constitutional rights, Melissa?
Well, I just, you know, if you're listening to this and you're thinking, well, we are in an emergency situation, it's kind of unprecedented in that we've never seen, you know, this type of thing before, where so many people are asked to stay at home and the social distancing, and you think that, you know, the government's just going to do and pass what is necessary. I urge you to take a look at the bill that was just passed that, you know, the stimulus package, that how much court we put into that has nothing to do with this virus. So if you think that they're only, you know, focusing on helping and doing what is with this virus, that's absolutely not the case. Not the case. They are going to take advantage of this and use it. It's, you know, it's sad to think, but they absolutely, I mean, they've already proved it.
Yeah, I agree. They're going to take advantage every chance they get. And let me jump down to number two in this article. It says, to beware of leaders who overly politicize the crisis. And one of the more troubling matters to watch unfold is lawmakers using the coronavirus crisis to enact their own agenda. And that's what we're talking about here. Yeah, we definitely want people to be protected from the virus and to be safe and healthy. But we know that corrupt leadership will take advantage of it, and we're seeing signs of that, particularly with the House Speaker Nancy Pelosi trying to put those unrelated add-ons from the Green New Deal into the stimulus package. You know, how many trillion did they finally end up with? 2 point something, but she wanted above 4 trillion for all these other programs that had nothing to do with the virus, right? And
she got a lot in that she did want. She did get a lot in.
Yeah, and I want to ask a question. But first, I want to say a couple things. We all know that the left wants to control our government. We know that they are in a minority now. We know that the media is in their pocket. If they were able to get the media to exaggerate the problem in such a way that the Congress would pass laws like the one you just mentioned with add-ons that have nothing to do with the coronavirus, particularly affecting our method of voting and what is legal for the voting process, is there any better way than that conglomerate of things happening one behind the other for them to get control when we don't want them to?
Well, no, not that it comes to mind. It's a perfect vehicle for them.
And I'm beginning to think that that's exactly what it is, that this situation is not near, while serious, and I'm not minimizing that, it is not nearly as dire as we have been led to believe. And if we sit still and allow the abuses to happen as a result of trying to solve the coronavirus spreading problem, that we will make a big mistake. We need to take each item of overreach and push back on it and do it now.
Yep, I agree. And I think one of the biggest problems here is we have sat back too long and allowed too much to go on. Let's take a short break here to hear from our sponsors. We'll be back in just a moment.
Baldwin's Transmissions and Auto Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call or stop by the shop on Highway 17 South in New Bern. Baldwin will give you the options. They can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they'll rebuild your existing transmission if that's what you prefer. Baldwin also does a variety of minor auto repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pumps. Count on Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair, your transmission physician, Highway 17 South in New Bern.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com. Panicelli's Pizzeria in River Bend features delicious handmade Italian dishes like lasagna, spaghetti, fettuccine alfredo, stromboli, calzone, and many more. And now Panicelli's has home delivery. Panicelli's uses only the freshest ingredients, and they have fantastic New York-style pizza in 4 sizes or by the slice. Panicelli's Pizzeria also has great salads and subs. So today, head to River Bend, and Panicelli's is at 40 Shoreline Drive, or call Panicelli's Pizzeria for home delivery.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military, just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, folks, we've been talking about what's going on during this time of crisis with our politicians trying to take advantage of the situation. Here's a good example. You know, the president came out and said, hey, we found out that there's this medication that's been approved by the FDA. It's been around for years. It's used to treat other things. And we have found out that it cures this problem. And some governors have worked to ban the import, even ban it altogether, the use of hydroxychloroquine and chloroquine, which is used to treat the coronavirus. And we've seen people that in just 2 or 3 days have come back from their deathbed almost by taking this medication. So why are some governors and other elected officials trying to ban it? Why are they politicizing this issue so much?
Because they're trying to take it as far as they can go. They really haven't gotten all they want out of it yet.
Well, I think also they're trying to affect the upcoming election, right, Bob?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I think that the quote, deep state is not used to moving quickly. One of the first comments when the president asked to have the two Navy hospital ships, one to California and one to New York, everybody, I think, I can't
Rachel
remember.
Rachel Maddow.
They were all saying, oh, he can't move that any quicker than 2 months. And bingo, there it is in New York.
I loved it because while she's sitting there doing that, I saw a little video somebody put together. It's impossible. He can't do it. And they showed a picture of the ship coming in behind her.
You know, the other funny thing along with that is, of course, the caution is don't meet in large groups or whatever else. The large group was the people trying to see the ship come in to New York.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw an interview with the skipper of that ship. He was a captain. And he said, people were asking him, how did he do it? He said, this is the Navy. We just made it happen.
Well, it was interesting. The interesting part, there was an article today, and I don't remember where I saw it. One of the New York State legislators is complaining about Franklin Graham setting up his hospitals in Central Park. And he's trying to blame Trump for the fact that Franklin Graham is setting up his hospitals in Central Park.
Well, what's wrong with that?
Well, one of the things that I came across when I was doing research on all this garbage for the blog was the New Hampshire leader, the New Hampshire union leader, and the Federalist both had articles about how certificate of need laws have hindered our response to this virus.
Yes.
It's 35 states evidently still have certificate of need laws.
Including North Carolina.
Yes. And we tried to get rid of ours, but we haven't done it yet. And they limited the number of hospitals. The article in the Union Leader pointed out that the population of New Hampshire has greatly increased, but the hospitals haven't, because the hospitals have a monopoly on this whole thing through the certificate of need. They prevent competition. Mm-hmm. And remember, and I'm not going to mention names, but there was a state legislator a couple of years ago when we were trying to get the con law through, who said as soon as the hospitals heard about it, he was getting tons of mails from nurses and hospital staff who were told that if we stop the con law, they will lose their jobs. Now, that was a lie, but they believed it.
Yeah, and I read a study that was done by a group at George Mason University, a research center, that took, it was a statistical study, and it showed, compared
each of the states with con laws, with the states without, and across the board, if you expressed it as per 100,000 or per 10,000 people, there were significantly fewer beds in every state that still has con laws.
Also, there is a higher mortality rate where there are con laws, aside from the fact that the health insurance costs go down too.
Yep.
And then there's also some studies that have shown in various states that have done away with their con laws, the availability of beds has immediately increased considerably.
Mm-hmm.
I'd also like to add that there are a lot of conservatives in our eastern North Carolina area that have joined together to try to get the con laws done away with. And a resolution was passed by the Craven County Republican Party to ask the legislature to do away with it. Of course, that'll be passed up to the third district and then on to the state and see what the other people around the state think about it, too.
That was done just within the last few days, wasn't it?
Yeah, a few days ago.
Yeah. Right. I want to say something. I'm going to change the subject here, but I came across something today that really bothers me. Right now, like this week, this month, whatever, you can fly from Newark Airport to Miami for $29 on American Airlines. Why are we letting people leave New York when New York is the center of this virus?
Maybe we want to spread the stuff.
Maybe we want to make it worse.
That would be an activity that would be inclined to accomplish just that.
Quote, sharing the wealth.
And on
maybe it's time for us to take that trip to London we've been wanting to take, right?
Well, on Frontier Airlines, you can fly from Newark to Miami for $19.
Well, now Rhode Island has put a hiatus to that happening.
Yeah, they won't let New Yorkers in.
Yeah, they're stopping cars with New York plates going in.
I think, fortunately, that was withdrawn. That request was finally.
Rhode Island's been looking for an excuse to get rid of New Yorkers for years. It has to do with New England sports fans.
All right, well, we're going to take another quick break, and then we'll come back and continue this conversation.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition established by Tommy and David Moore's parents over 70 years ago. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week at our three locations in New Bern, Winterville, and Moorhead City. We also cater and deliver to your home, workplace, church, or school, anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. And gosh, we were talking during the break about not what government is doing during this crisis, but what private individuals and corporations are doing. Bob, you had some good examples.
Yes, I know that Mike Lindell, the MyPillow man, I think has really, really stepped up. And also there's General Motors and a number of other companies are stepping up. Joanne Fabrics? All of these private companies seem to be stepping up to either help make masks for the for the hospital people, or sewing up the masks, or trying to make the ventilators that are necessary for the hospitals. I mean, these are private companies that are doing that.
I understood that General Motors had to have a little pressure applied by President Trump to get in the act and go ahead and make the ventilators that they had promised to make. And another remark I'd like to make is I understand some bootleggers have switched over to from making bootleg to making hand sanitizer.
Yes.
Just hope when they switch back, they don't get mixed up. Melissa.
I just want to say that, you know, this was a big thing that was in the liberal media is why isn't Trump doing the, enforcing that these, what is it called? The defense
authorization.
Production Act.
Production. Right.
And a lot of the people who were on the coronavirus committee, they said, why he doesn't need to enforce that. You can't, why do you want to compel people to do something that they're already doing? And we talked about this last week, and we're seeing it more and more and more. And just like Hal said, all he had to do was put a little pressure on GM. And, you know, people are doing what they're supposed to do. And I think that's important when you want to talk about the government coming in and doing so much. We're Americans. We know what to do. We're already doing it. We're going to do it. You know, you have to be careful.
Yes, I agree.
I want to point out, too, that there's a lot of misinformation going on about this. And one of the things that has been done, the media has not been totally honest here.
Well, it is.
No.
Practicing your biggest understatement, Mary?
CBS News ran a picture of what was supposed to be an overcrowded New York hospital. The picture was actually from Sky News of a hospital in Italy.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, that's the kind of thing that's going on. I realize this is a serious problem, but we need to address it as it is.
Yeah. Well,
you bring up a very good point because the media is very complicit in starting a lot of widespread panic by generating a lot of false narratives and outright lies. Yeah. And they've been doing that for a long time.
You can't believe your lying eyes anymore.
Well, that goes way back to where I started earlier in this conversation, and that is I honestly believe that the media is trying to drive events and make them worse to create an opportunity for the liberals to get what they want. And they are trying to manipulate us with misinformation about how bad it is. They're making it sound worse. They're making the death rate sound worse. And they are just trying really hard to control our brains.
Right. And, you know, you got a lot of leftist groups out there that are doing the same thing. We've got one right here in our area, the Pamlico Progressives. And I saw where they have on their Facebook page what we could have paid for with the COVID-19 stimulus bill. 5 million ventilators, 5 million ICU beds, and feeding 17 million families for a year. Instead, we paid for Republicans' $500 billion bailout for corporations. Now, that's what they do. They take a narrative like that and they blast it out there and convince people that it's the absolute truth. Now, let me ask you this. That $500 billion bailout, which is not a bailout, if these businesses, these corporations go out of business and you have those 5 million ventilators, 5 million ICU beds, and 17 million families being fed, what's going to happen next when they have no jobs to go back to? Because
the suicide rate will go way up. The family abuse rate will go way up. All kinds of horrible things will happen. There will be shortages of
business.
They're trying to drive the narrative that it's a bailout. It's not a bailout, folks. It's imperative that we keep our economy functioning and rolling, and people are going to have jobs to go back to when this is over with. Melissa.
Yeah, well, I have 2 points to make. I'll just go quickly on this one. I am astonished that they even brought that, printed that out, that what a waste, what they could have done. Your own Democratic Party that you uplift put $25 million to the Kennedy Center, $300 million to the arts and humanities. I mean, really, this is how is this helping the virus? How is this helping the economy right now? I mean, your own party fluffed up that bill with so much that is going to drive our deficit up. So that's just, I mean, that's wow. And the second thing, I wanted to go back real quick to what you're talking about, the media driving this. I don't know if you caught, I'm sure y'all didn't, but I did the ABC 2020 special. I believe it was last night or the night before. They did a message of hope. It was the most depressing segment I've ever seen in my life. They were supposed to be showing, the whole hour was supposed to be about how America's come together. They focused a lot on the nurses and doctors and what they're doing. But all they showed was the heartbreak and emotional toll that these nurses are going through and how hard it is on them. It was not a message of hope. It was horrible. It was so sad and depressing. And it was not the uplifting that they promised us that it was going to be. I mean, they really drove home, you know, that this virus is going to last so long, that, you know, the physical toll it's taken on everyone, the emotion, the depression. I mean, you're definitely right about the media just really amping up the fear.
Right. There's a political agenda there too, Diane.
Don't forget what the Democrats did with that phony impeachment trial in this House. They diverted millions and millions of dollars from Social Security for their impeachment.
And I want to talk about the WHO.
Hey.
Organization.
Ooh.
And the role that they're playing in this. They reported in the middle of January that the coronavirus was not transmitted by person-to-person contact, that it wouldn't be caught that way. And then there's a video floating around, you can probably find it on YouTube, of one of the executives from the World Health Organization being asked, are you going to admit Taiwan into your organization? And he totally ignored the question. And then the person asked it again. He said, I'm sorry, I didn't hear your question. Can we just go on to the next one? And evidently they have denied help to Taiwan. So yeah. China is pulling the strings very much on the World Health Organization. Of course, America's funding it because we do that sort of thing. And I think we really have to reevaluate as the numbers start. We really have to reevaluate what we're looking at.
We've heard of criticism from the leadership in the House of Representatives that the president didn't react in time. When, in fact, back in January, when he shut down travel from China, that he knew that he knew of the threat right now, but yet. The leadership in the House of Representatives decided to ignore that as they went on with their impeachment fiasco. One other thing that I would like to bring in, you know, I mentioned earlier that the private enterprise had got on board to help in this process. We live in Carolina Colors. There are a significant number of people that live in Carolina Colors that have joined a, quote, sewing circle. I'm going to use that term. They have produced over 1,000 face masks for people at the various hospitals and medical facilities around here. That is all done by people in the neighborhood.
Bless them. That's wonderful.
And before we go to another break, I want to look at the other side of that coin. One of our representatives talked about most of the calls he's getting is people like that, they're retired. They're getting a check every month. They're not being affected financially in that manner. And the first thing they want to know is when they're going to get their stimulus.
It wasn't me.
No, it wasn't me either. But there are people that are taking advantage of the situation. And I just don't get that. You've got people that are out there doing their best to be of comfort and of help to other people. And then you got people that absolutely don't need any help, but are taking it and are anxious to take it. And I just don't get that. Let's talk about this deal with here in Craven County, and I'm assuming it's going on in other counties also, where the school buses are delivering meals.
I've seen it a couple of times.
They're delivering lunches to kids. Now, I don't have a problem with feeding the hungry, but my daughter pointed out to me that in the neighborhood next to them, which is a very upscale neighborhood, groups of parents are gathered together standing on the corner with their kids. Now, there's no social distancing going on there. But these are people that are well off, very well off as far as homes and automobiles and everything else, living in some of these communities, are standing there waiting for the buses to deliver food for their kids. That's just not right.
Well, that shows me also that that's what's going on in the schools.
Yes.
I mean, they're feeding kids. I don't know whether they get breakfast, lunch, and dinner or not, but I heard that they get lunch and dinner. A lot of the kids, I guess it maybe assumes to all of them. I don't know.
Right. Well, I'm not saying that it's wrong to feed kids that aren't getting proper food at home. What I am saying is it's wrong for people that know they don't need that service, and they're taking those taxpayer dollars and taking advantage of it when they don't need it. Mary.
Rick, one of the things, I mean, there are people who are going to get checks that don't need checks. But one of the theories probably behind that is that right now, if you put extra money in people's pockets and they spend it, they will help keep the economy going. So there is, and from a business perspective, there is some logic to that. Also, let's face it, we all pay too much in taxes, and it's about time they gave some back.
Right, I understand. I understand what you're saying, Mary. I give back. But I don't think these people are considering it that way. They're considering what they can do for them and, you know, not boosting the economy, but boosting their own. Anyway, that was something I felt like I wanted to mouth off about because I heard a lot of other people talk about it too. Melissa?
I did want to say something, though, about the schools going around with the lunch. You're absolutely right, because I've seen it myself. They're doing it every day. I feel two ways about it. I mean, I definitely understand that breakfast and lunch are, you know, sometimes at school, that some families, that's all they get. I understand that. But when you are in affluent neighborhoods and you're delivering that, I don't understand, because we also have every night on the news, the food pantries are crying out for food. So, you know, there's definitely a shortage out there. People are definitely, you know, I've heard of people who are on a fixed income, and you've seen it yourself when you go to the grocery store, that the cheaper meats are gone so quickly, and they can't afford to buy the more expensive meats or fruits or vegetables, you know, that they're not used to buying that stuff. So they are reaching out to the food pantry. So if there's such a shortage in that area, I don't understand, what is the big focus on feeding these affluent neighborhoods? I'm really confused on that.
Yeah, I'll give you another example, something about that, is school buses. In some of these same neighborhoods or whatever, out in rural areas too, you'll see a very nice car, very upscale car, sitting at the bus stop waiting for the bus to drop their kids off. I have a hard time understanding that also. I know there are some circumstances, but not to the extent that you see it. I'm just preaching about people that take advantage of the system and the situations. Mary?
One of the things, our kids were stationed in New Orleans during Hurricane Katrina. And after Katrina, everybody got a FEMA check, everybody, for like $3,000 or something. And I watched what happened. And poverty is as much a state of mind as it is a financial situation. Many people, again, New Orleans has poverty like you would not believe. And many of the people had never seen that much money. And they immediately headed to the casinos and the strip clubs. The people who had some kind of financial training or some kind of financial knowledge used it to get their houses put back together, to find a place to live, and things like that. There just wasn't enough education in terms of money management to have the people who all of a sudden received $3,000 or whatever it was to understand what that money was supposed to do, that it was supposed to supply housing when housing was very scarce.
Right. They saw it as a, hey, this is an extra gift. Also, I've heard reports of the increase in unemployment benefits that there's going on now. That in some cases, people will be getting three times what they will earn if they go back. Where's the incentives to go back to work? They're not going to want to go back to work. They're making more money not working. Folks, we got to look at this stuff realistically. We need to help our fellow man. We need to get rid of hunger and starvation and all those things. But we need to cut out the fraud, waste, and abuse in the process. Real quick, Melissa, got to take a break.
Real quick, I just have a theory, a feeling, whatever you want to call it, on that. With all the extra stuff that was put into the stimulus package and the extra unemployment benefits and all of this overlap, it's, you know, when we get out of this mess, when it comes time to re-election, people are going to look at the Democrats are going to tout the deficit. This is the highest deficit ever under Trump. They're going to tout how much was wasted, and it's going to be Trump's fault. And that's just how I feel about that.
Well, you probably are hitting the nail right on the head. So let's take a quick break, hear from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
In a time when personal responsibility is being mocked and minimized, who's really responsible for your safety and security? Who's really readily available to provide protection for you and your loved ones? Law enforcement is not always going to be there when you need that safety most. Are you prepared to keep you and your family safe and secure? I'm Randy Seiler, owner and instructor for Responsible Security, LLC, and I invite you to be that person, to be the responsible one. Contact me at ResponsibleSecurityLLC.com so you can be better trained, safer, more secure, responsible. At Responsible Security, LLC, I provide personal firearms and security training for a variety of skill levels. Currently, classes are available for obtaining a North Carolina concealed carry handgun permit and for advancing your personal firearms skills. Remember, your safety and security depends on you first. Visit ResponsibleSecurityLLC.com to learn more and sign up for a class so you can be better prepared to meet your responsibilities.
Baldwin's Transmissions and Auto Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call or stop by the shop on Highway 17 South in New Bern. Baldwin will give you the options. They can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they'll rebuild your existing transmission if that's what you prefer. Baldwin also does a variety of minor auto repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pumps. Count on Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair, your transmission physician, Highway 17 South in New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition established by Tommy and David Moore's parents over 70 years ago. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week at our three locations in New Bern, Winterville, and Moorhead City. We also cater and deliver to your home, workplace, church, or school, anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out RightWingGranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to RightWingGranny.com.
Y'all ready for this? The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Okay, we got to wrap this show up. And Mary Griswold, you had some information you wanted to Cloward Piven, right?
Yes.
What the heck is a Cloward Piven?
Looking at the amount of money Congress and the president just added to the deficit, I want to talk about the Cloward Piven theory. This was a theory that came out of the Columbia University School of Social Work in the 1960s. And the basic theory is they wanted to restructure American society, essentially turn us into a socialist state. And the way to do that was to so totally overload the social system, the safety net, it would collapse. And then they could, after our money collapsed and we were all broke and everything was awful, they could institute a socialist system. That is the basic theory. And I am concerned that we seem to be moving in that direction.
Yeah, we have been for quite some time.
I kind of see a way that ties in with what Melissa was talking about the affluent children also getting meals from schools. Mm-hmm. I've got a theory that in this socialism that's creeping into the schools, that the poorer kids would feel stigmatized if they were the only ones getting meals. So give them to everybody, and then you don't have any stigmatism attached to taking them.
Well, that's what happened with food stamps, when food stamps became EBT cards, so nobody knew when you were buying your groceries whether you were buying them with food stamps or whether you were just using a credit card like other people use.
Right.
If we do that, I understand that. I do understand that. It's not the kids' fault. They should not be shamed. They should not be stigmatized. I understand that. But when we do for everyone, like in this situation, you know, how did they, I don't know. I just feel like if you do for everyone to make everyone feel they're the same, there is no initiative to the parents or to the kids to come out of that poverty, to mm-hmm. work harder so that you're not you're the next generation that comes out of that poverty. Where's the initiative if we're all on the same level? That doesn't
matter. We're trying to artificially affect outcomes rather than giving people the opportunity to rise or fall to their whatever level they choose. We need to be able to have freedom of choice, all kinds of freedom, but we need to live with the results of the decisions that we make. Right. And if you don't like what comes from the decisions we make, we'll change our decisions. We'll self-correct. We're not allowed to fail, so we don't learn. The most millionaires have failed several times before they made it stick.
Yep.
You fail your way to success if you're trying.
Diane has her hand up.
Yeah. I talked to cafeteria workers in the school system, and they all say this, the free lunch program is an abject failure. They say it's like throwing food right in the garbage. They pick a little bit from their plates and they just dump the rest in the garbage.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot wrong with the systems. There's a lot of, when we're talking about the healthcare people and the school teachers and school administrators and all these public servants, you know, a lot of them have really good hearts and really good intentions.
They mean well,
but they're trapped in a corrupt system that's ineffective, is wasteful, is full of fraud, waste, and abuse. And I think over a period of time, some of them get sucked into it so far that they actually become a part of it and don't know how to break free.
Well, actually, part of the problem is that charity belongs in churches, homes, with individuals, with philanthropic organizations. It doesn't belong out of taxpayer money. That's not the origin that it should be coming from.
Absolutely. Right.
Schools are for teaching. They're not social services.
Yep.
They shouldn't be trying to take the place of or be part of social services. They need to be focused on education and teaching, because if they've been focused on educating our students and teaching them our history, they'd know a whole lot more about what the problem is today instead of trying to put the blame where it doesn't belong. They don't understand where the blame belongs here because they haven't been educated. They don't know our Constitution, our Bill of Rights. They don't know a lot of things that would explain it to them, what they're seeing happening during this time of crisis that we have now. Melissa.
Yeah, and I think if you're paying attention to some of the stories that are coming out, especially on social media, you know, these parents they're freaking out that they have their kids all day, you know. And they're praising up one side and down the other.
I love having my kids around all day.
Well, hello. You know, this is, I think it's a big eye-opener into society. If you cannot handle your children on a 24-hour basis, you're the problem.
Yeah.
You are the problem. It's not.
You know, when our boys were growing up and they got bored, I had jobs for them to do.
Well, of course. I mean, there's plenty of things that you teach your children. You interact with your children. You don't put them on a screen. You know.
Nope.
What is going to, if there's like a big blackout? I mean, there's going to be some serious. There's going to be some children turned out on the street or something. I don't know. I feel sorry for these kids.
I taught our boys.
The internet goes down, we're all doomed.
That's it.
I taught our boys to be soldiers by the time they were doing drill and ceremony when they still had the little pajamas with the bottoms on that could be opened up.
All right. Bob had his hand up, and then we got to close the show out.
No, what I wanted to add quickly was, I know earlier this week, Right Wing Granny had posted something I think it was on Facebook, a statement on Facebook, and all of a sudden she started getting 50 odd different various people that were arguing with her about the statement. Now the statement was inherently true, but they're arguing about how horrible it was, this, that, and the other thing, and it degraded to you're a racist, you're this, you're that, or whatever else, and she finally had to bring it down. It was a factual statement that people decided that you can't say that because that's a fact that I don't like.
Now,
they don't want the facts, Bob. They want the truth.
The article, there's an article up at Right Wing Granny with the statement and an article about what happened when I put it up, because it was an experiment. What I said essentially was to all my liberal friends in California, how does it feel to know that by putting the travel restrictions on China at the end of January, despite the objections from the Democrats, that President Trump may have saved your life.
Wow.
Well, you do recall the definition of a racist, and that's a conservative winning an argument with a liberal.
I do know that.
Yes. Okay, guys, did y'all hear that funny sound?
Yep.
Yes.
That was noticed. We're out of time.
No.
And we got to wrap the show up and get out of here. Folks, I want to thank everybody for tuning in and putting up with us during this time of uncertainty. And speaking of uncertainty, we don't know when we'll get back to being able to do regular programs, recording them. So we're going to continue this virtual environment as long as we have to. But we're going to try to bring you relevant content and keep you informed. As far as our public meetings,
I'm sure about that too.
Yeah. As far as our public meetings go, we are very unsure of when we'll be able to have the next one. But if you'll keep an eye on cctaxpayers.com, we'll keep you informed and also here on the radio show as to when our next public meeting will be held. And Hal's had a lot of stuff already planned out, and so he's got some stuff ready to go for you. Well, that's all the time we have for CCTA Wake Up Call. Thank you for joining us. Visit our sponsors and tell them you heard about them here.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military. Just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
The CCTA truly appreciates their sponsors because their support makes it possible for Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association to bring all of you Wake Up Call every Sunday. Those sponsors include Professional Auto Services on Country Club Road in New Bern, Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutrition consultant, Panicelli's Pizzeria in River Bend. Other great supporters are RightWingGranny.com with a unique perspective on the news, B&J Seafood on US 70 in New Bern, the North Carolina Fisheries Association, Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair on Highway 17 South in New Bern, also the County Compass, serving Pamlico, Beaufort, Craven, and Carteret counties, Dr. J. Singleton, Moore's Old Time Barbecue. Tune in for the CCTA Wake Up Call every Sunday on the Talk Station, FM 107 and AM 1240.
Once again, we'd like to thank you for joining us during these special times and invite you to please visit our website at cctaxpayers.com, and we look forward to spending time with you again next week.